Welcome to the Butts in the Seats podcast, episode number 145.
Ooh.
It's too many episodes.
Now you're saying it's too many episodes?
It's been too many.
We've come too far for you to say that.
I'm Nick alongside Emily.
Hello.
Emily, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm tired, but it's fine.
Yeah, we're recording shortly after daylight saving, so we're on a weird curve.
My body naturally woke up at 5:30 in the morning, and you know, I went with it, and I shouldn't have done that.
You had to get up to work.
Yeah.
But today we're going to talk about the November 27th, 2000 WCW Monday Nitro, aka the Fallout from Mayhem.
Yes.
Which means after last Nitro's long ass weather report and Millennium Final, I got nothing but backstage notes for this one.
Yeah, there can't even be that much. There was, what, like, maybe 24 hours between these shows?
I held off on some of the backstage notes for that one because they were more relevant to today.
Oh, because you had spoilers.
I also knew we'd have more to get into for that episode.
Yeah. I don't think this is going to be as long of an episode as the last one.
Probably not, but yeah, you never know.
Honestly, we say that going into these episodes, and then you and I start just rambling, and they just turn into 2.5 hour episodes.
Well, I do need to start with a correction.
I made a mistake last week.
I know.
Oh my god, you never announced that you were wrong. Except for when I point out that you were wrong about someone's last showing.
Apparently, oh my god, you have given Jeff Jarrett MVP before last episode. So when I claimed that I was doing it for the first time, you had done it once before.
Did you claim that neither of us had ever given him MVP?
I gave it to him literally once.
Yeah, I mean, that tracks.
He's been around for over a year.
Yeah, so. But all he does is call people Jurassic slap-asses.
And I'm the chosen one.
I'm the chosen one. I do want to... There's a sign that shows up in this episode that says Slapnuts Boulevard. Part of me wants it.
I really thought you were going to reference the sign from Saturday Night's Main Event of, oh, brother, this guy stinks.
I love that so much. Oh, I loved that so much because it was behind Jey Uso and he does stink.
Oh, so Emily, your team no yeet.
Yes, I always have been.
No, we're team neither. I don't want to be part of this discourse.
I'm team make yeet stop. You've overplayed it. It's done. Y'all just like a dance move. Admit it and move on.
Yeet is so popular that it's making me question Daniel Bryan's push. And he's probably one of my favorite. No. Well, here's the thing. He deserved it, but like the reason for it.
He also had a dance move, and bitches love a dance move.
I'm like, yes, he did deserve the push. However, goddamn, they just do love a visual thing.
I mean, look at Penta, too. He's got a dance move.
But it's not as repeatable. Contrary,
yes, it is.
Well, contrary to Yeet, they can just do all fucking Yeet. Yeah. Penta's one is just, you know, he'll do it 8 times in a match, but it's not one of those that we're gonna keep doing this over and over again.
People do try.
But Emily, I have some backstage notes for this Nitro that hails from Rockford, Illinois, that did a 2.4 to Raw's 4.9.
Okay.
Say the line, Emily.
What is it that I always say?
Oh, it seems awfully low for Raw.
I was thinking that, but I knew that you were going to get mad at me.
I think it did a 5-0 last episode. Yes, it is down 0.1.
That's low. It feels low.
It's still double Nitro and then some.
I thought you were going to get mad at me, so I didn't say it. And I didn't say it, and you still got mad at me.
You just say it every week.
It feels low.
What number would you like?
I feel like it should be in the high fives, low sixes.
That's like record stuff. We're past that.
Is it?
Yeah. For wrestling, yeah.
Okay.
That said, yeah, backstage notes. ECW is at least 6 weeks behind on paying guys.
Oh my god. So the WWE channel lives on Peacock, and I turned it on today, and they were showing an ECW match, and it was great. That's all.
Can you confirm whether or not the wrestlers got paid on time for that match?
It was new ECW. I think it was WWE ECW, but Tommy Dreamer was in
don't,
it.
So don't, like, I like Tommy. You didn't see ECW, Emily.
It was the nicer, like, cleaner, more... HD resolution, so that's why I think
Emily,
it was new.
You're gonna
ECW.
Lose all our listeners.
Listen, I like the gritty shit too, but I was just happy to see it, okay?
Ugh, brother.
I was having a rough day, and I got to see people get thrown against a cage. It was fun.
Scott Hall was arrested and had apparently blown a 0.27 on the breathalyzer.
Woof.
That is
a 0.27?
Over 3 times the legal limit.
Holy shit.
I don't know how you find the car when you're that drunk.
Right. Jesus. How much do you drink to get that?
According to the Wrestling Observer, Goldberg had 14 wins on Thunder, 20 at the pay-per-view, and 25 on Nitro. For what it's worth, we ended last Nitro. My count was at 21-0. So this is one of those where sometimes the Observer just wants to get mad about shit that's not real.
Oh, well, yeah.
Granted, I don't remember what happened on last Thunder if he beat four guys in between now and then, but yeah, sometimes they just kind of curve the numbers to do whatever.
To fit their
fucking
narrative?
Fucking Dave. Oh, man, he's the worst.
I was going to ask if it was still Dave Meltzer at this point.
Oh, it's always Dave.
Is he the only one that writes for it?
I mean, it's pretty much always Dave.
Okay.
Booker T is hurt and will apparently be back around February. Admittedly, I don't know exactly when he's back, but that's the report. Oh, apparently Larry Zbysko has been released.
What?
Like, why? You couldn't find anything for him to do?
Yeah, what?
Like, well, guess what has he been doing?
I thought he was on Thunder.
No.
Oh.
He's been doing commentary for a while.
He's kind of been backstage, so I assumed that he was around on Thunder because he was kind of backstage for Nitro.
Yeah, I think we saw him somewhat recently. Yeah, but
maybe at a pay-per-view?
I don't know. But also, he's on commentary on Nitro in 96, so I wonder, are you merging?
I may be. This is true. I do that.
Oh, Emily, I'll save it for the next episode when we hit the weather report. But Torrey Wilson is going to be written off on Thunder, but then be back literally on the last Nitro.
Is she written off for a pregnancy angle?
No. Okay. I don't think so.
Where is French Fries? He wasn't on this episode.
He wrestled on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, so did half of these guys.
Yeah, he's going to be on Thunder.
Hmm.
There's also a sentiment in The Observer that's basically, guys, I'm starting to think Vince Russo isn't coming back.
No shit. What?
Then the WCW Battle Dome crossover is apparently over, mostly due to money.
Yeah, I mean, who was paying into that?
Yeah, who knows? Nobody wanted to.
No one wanted to do that. I honestly, we watch every single episode, and I forgot.
Yeah.
You gave Terry Crews your MVP last episode, and I forgot. Not a single mention of Mayhem, either.
No.
Damn, I really did forget.
I'm like, yeah, when's Rick Steiner actually having a match? He's just doing Battle Dome shit.
Maybe it's better that he's not on television.
Yeah. But that's all for my backstage notes. No weather report, so we can get pretty quickly into our main show here.
Let's go. Because this was a doozy of an episode.
I'll say, by get right into it, I do mean I'm going to play the cold open of this episode because it is an all-time classic.
It is iconic.
Thank you for coming, ladies and gentlemen. At long last, this national crisis is over. The votes are in. They've been tallied, confirmed, and reconfirmed. Finally, we have an answer, as there is a clear-cut winner. The man who will lead this country into the new millennium. Ladies and gentlemen of the press, it pleases me to officially announce the next president of the United States of America.
Oh! There's one vote you forgot to count. Now choke on that, slap nut.
Yeah, so this is just played cold, like it's special news bulletin, and it's like, here we go.
And you definitely have showed this to me many times before. You show it to me every election season. I had never seen it in context. I still don't feel like I did, you know?
Because it makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly.
According to this, we counted all the votes. Wait, there's one.
You so didn't count mine, so nothing counts.
Also, who was ready to come on stage? Because they'd still be there. We can pan the camera
That's
over.
That's true.
But nope, there's one vote you forgot to count. Now choke on that, slap nuts. What iconic.
What a man. It is iconic.
Now, that said, I don't know who this guy is who took the bump, but fucking good
Great
on
bump.
Him.
Yeah. Iconic bump. Historic bump.
Yeah, just the absurdity of this, especially because they're on TNT. So, you know, it's CNN adjacent, so special news bulletin all of a sudden.
I guess it could happen.
I mean, credit to them. They didn't play the WCW logo first. They started with this.
Oh, yeah.
We then get the Nitro opening and the opening pyro. On commentary, it's Tony Schiavone, Mark Madden, and Scott Hudson.
Hell yeah. Fuck a Stevie Ray. Don't worry, we get him later.
Scott Hudson, who admittedly I didn't know when in the show it was, but they imply Scott Hudson has not had sex in a very long time. I'm like, he missed time recently because he became a father.
I mean, it could be 9+ months ago.
I mean, also, oh, it's not his kid, whatever, but you know.
Yeah, like, whatever.
I said, I hope you're enjoying Scott Hudson, because I'm pretty sure come 2001, it's just going to be Tony and Scott.
I'm okay with that.
Because, yeah, we're running out of time on Mark Madden, and I know we have one more Stevie Ray show after this. So
Because I know you said Mark Madden doesn't make it to Christmas.
He doesn't make it to the new year. Because there's such the weird gap, I don't know who actually makes it to Christmas, to New Year's, versus January 8th.
Whatever.
There's like 20 days in between. I'm not claiming day by day for that.
There is inarguably not 20 days between December 25th and January 8th.
The night before Christmas is the 18th, motherfucker. All right?
That's some shit you would pull on me.
In the ring, three count are already there. They have a mic, and they're interrupted by the Misfits in action. Yeah, we're going right into three count versus Lieutenant Loco and Corporal Cajun. And to this day, I still have a hard time not having Lieutenant Loco be Lash LaRue.
I know, me too. But are you down with the three?
No.
If you're not down with the three, you just don't count.
Oh!
Burn!
They cooked me.
Get cooked.
All four men go at it, and Cajun hits a tilt-a-roll backbreaker. Then Loco locks in a Boston Crab weirdly early in a match. I'm like, why do you already have a submission move in?
Yeah.
MAA are dominating. As we noted, one of the cameras just doesn't match the color and brightness of the other ones.
Oh, yeah.
They sort this out, but thing. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the only shot that I see this difference in. But it was a very jarring, weird production glitch. It's like they forgot to check all the cameras.
Yeah, depending on the lens, it may have the aperture on the lens, maybe. So maybe that got bumped, but... Helms hits Cajun from the apron, and Moore hits a rocker dropper. Three count do a weird backslide diving leg drop combo, and it's only weird because it requires one of them to be going for a pin and them to break up their teammate's pin.
Mm.
Now, the ref doesn't count the pin because he knows what spot's coming, but it's like, yeah, just a weird look.
It was a weird look.
I don't think we're going to see that one again.
You know what else was a weird look? Adam Sandler's The Wedding Singer coming this Friday night to TNT at 8 p.m. This little ad is playing in the corner a couple of times through the show. Eventually, Tony Schiavone...
throughout.
Not a couple of times, like two or three times. Tony Schiavone does note it in eventually later in the show. He's like, and Adam Sandler, watch him in The Wedding Singer.
Well, I think he's supposed to.
Is he? Okay. It came off as such an off...
Well, yeah,
comment.
I think he's supposed to more naturally than that.
Yeah, it was not natural. Yeah.
Helms hits a big super kick and three count double team Corporal Cajun. Cajun fights back and hits a weird, like, back springboard X Factor. The, like, turn on it. I'm like, this doesn't quite work, but it looked cool.
You dealing with the X Factor.
Loco gets the hot tag, cleans house, plus a DDT to Helms. Three count hit a suplex side slam combo, and Noble and Courageous come out with the ladder for some reason. Like, sure. It's the same ladder from last night.
I had a hard time believing that, but I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility. I think it's just a ladder. I don't think it's the same ladder.
It probably is, honestly.
The way they said that made it sound like that ladder is, like, laced with evil curses. It's the same ladder. It's a vindictive ladder.
From my Ring of Honor days, like, they do bring weapons, and if they're not broken, they're going to bring them back. So
sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, nothing happened to the ladder, so it probably is the same ladder.
Yeah, but I don't think that was intentional. I think it was just, like, a ladder... traveled and they just ended up grabbing the same ladder.
Yeah, they still didn't really explain why they had the ladder last night, though.
Because it's a magic cursed ladder.
Courageous weakly hits Moore with the ladder, and Lieutenant Loco hits a brainbuster for the win. Like, the interference was, like, the lightest touch you could do.
The interference was just Evan Courageous and Jamie Noble saying, we have a ladder.
Yeah, we were far closer to Landstorm chair shot than we were Joey Mercury face injury.
Ooh, yeah.
Because that was the spot, Jesus. Effectively. It was bounce the thing into the guy's face. And
Jesus.
Yeah. I did not worry for Shannon Moore once during that spot.
He was fine.
Or I got worried when it was setting up, and then they did it. And went, oh, yeah, he's fine. But as we're talking about, yeah, the lack of, like... effort on the interference of this match hurt the finish and therefore kind of hurt the match a lot.
Yeah, I mean, in general, it was a fine match.
It was quick.
It was quick. It was not notable. It was good energy. It was fun. It was fine. It's not something to remember.
Like, it was almost weird seeing Three Count face somebody who isn't Young Dragons or Noble Courage. It's like, wait, no, you face these guys. That's the thing. It's like seeing the Harlem Globetrotters play someone who isn't the Washington Generals. It's like, what?
I didn't even know there was another team.
They have to face somebody, Emily.
It's like the Savannah Bananas. They're all the same team. It's just like you draw straws on who's the fucking Philadelphia Firefighters or whatever
the fuck.
I think
they do have a couple different teams.
Do they
now.
Actually?
I think.
I don't know enough. I don't care enough.
But yeah, the match was nothing special. It wasn't bad, I mean, but yeah,
it was
like
fine.
Like everyone here is capable of doing better with time, and they just don't want to give that to anybody.
Yeah, but they're also probably tired because of the fucking pay-per-view last night.
Oh, no. They have to work a collective 15 minutes over 2 days.
They're very sleepy.
Backstage, Elix Skipper hits on Miss Jones, and the cat insults Skipper. I'm like, didn't we do this segment last week?
Yeah, because that's all they have for Elix Skipper to do. This was a very cringy stepping in of the cat, too. Because he was kind of like coming in and being like, what did he even fucking say?
It was like, okay, take my girl, whatever. Like,
oh, yeah, you can take my girl, you can take my pride, take my girl. Try to take my girl. You can't take my pride. Like, well, what?
He says, take my girl. She goes in the dressing room. It's like, okay, you took her. Now take my pride. It's like, no, he didn't.
He didn't take her. This is the opposite of what usually happens in WCW. There was no kidnapping. She went willingly.
Oh, Emily, can I give you a fun tease for the next Patreon episode?
Oh, God. Who gets kidnapped? Miss Elizabeth? Is this the start of Miss Elizabeth's kidnapping? Is she already that useless? Is it already happening? God, I hate that woman.
But she gets willingly kidnapped somehow.
By who?
She signs a contract with the NWO.
Okay, and then that's not kidnapping.
And then, but the way they treat her is they're dragging her out like, yeah, you're out here.
She signed a contract.
Yeah, and she can't get out of it and not show up for some reason. That said, this segment with Elix Skipper and the cat is slightly different than last time, because this time we get a Lance Storm chair shot from Lance Storm.
Because Lance Storm comes in and is like, this is cringy and weird. End it.
With the lightest chair shot you've ever seen.
It's enough.
Lance Storm coming in with the effort of a Monty Python sketch, ending with, no, it's far too silly. Commentary chat, the Mayhem main event, and Scott Steiner. Mark Madden draws attention to Stevie Ray's part in the main event, implying we're going to get more on that later. Tony then throws to Mean Gene, and someone from commentary coughs as Gene brings out the new WCW champion, Scott Steiner.
Oof. He does yell.
He does. Well, he wants the fans to pucker up and kiss his ass, and he only cares about his freaks and his peaks.
His freaks and his peaks.
And then we get what has become a rarity, Emily. Scott Steiner.
He's the best at sex.
He's the best at sex.
He's the best at sex.
Now, last night, I proved that I only care about two things, my freaks and my peaks. And when I put the hammer down on Booker T, I went back to my hotel room to a chorus line of freaks, all horizontal and looking for satisfaction. And there I was, standing there with nothing on but my boots and my belt. And believe me, I sent sweet sensations up and down their spines all night long until they called me the Big Bad Booty Daddy.
He is the greatest man alive.
And as I was in my sexual sanctuary, I got my mind and my body re-energized, and I came here tonight looking for a fight.
He said he has a chorus line of freaks. That he's fucking a chorus line of freaks. So let's think about the logistics of that. Hold on. Assuming that they're laying horizontally, what do girls in a chorus line do?
Well, they kick. Well, one, I always love the thing of they're all laying horizontal. Can I always picture them like head to toe, like laying in a line? Like, I know what he's going for, but I always just picture it in just the least sexy way.
But chorus line girls, their whole thing is kicking. Yeah. Why do you want to draw attention to that? Like, you can't have sex with a girl if she's doing a chorus line kick. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but what you don't realize is Scott Steiner's actually a huge fan of the theater, and a chorus line was touring in Rockville that night, so he slept with the cast of a chorus line.
That's not true. Did you look that up?
No. I'm doing a bit here.
I thought you looked that you fucking looked it up.
Where would I even start?
I don't know. You have a lot of free time.
You think Scott Steiner's heard of the show, a chorus line?
I don't know.
I think we peaked. I don't think the episode's getting better than that.
Oh, God.
But Scott Steiner is looking for a fight and says Sting and Booker aren't here tonight as the crowd chants for Goldberg. And Steiner rightfully addresses this. He's like, I already beat Goldberg, so, you know, he's not coming out. And then Tony implies, like, oh, well, Steiner's only saying that because he knows about the Goldberg streak stipulation. And I'm like, okay, so that's still a thing.
So it is still a thing.
Yeah. We've gone another night. We're still holding that's a thing.
Give it 10 minutes. It'll not be a thing again.
Scott Steiner says he probably won't have an opponent until Starrcade. And then Ric Flair's music hits. I feel like they definitely wanted you to think that Ric Flair was going to wrestle at Starrcade. I feel like for a split second they wanted that. But Emily, he can't. And why is that?
I'm retired.
And what is Scott Steiner?
You're a great wrestler. I'm retired.
Well, Flair actually says that Scott Steiner is like the flagship and they're going to build the company around him now.
Oh, okay.
Flair then says that being champion has a lot of perks, but one of them is not calling your own shots. And I'm like, yeah, depending on who you fucking ask and what company, it's either absolute power or it's nothing.
Right.
Flair has an opponent on his way to the arena to face Scott Steiner at Starrcade. Steiner then asks who Flair has. Andre the Giant? He's dead.
Oh, God. No one asked.
Much like the original Buddy Rogers, God rest his soul.
God rest his soul.
What about Steve Austin? I beat his ass while he was here. The Rock? He doesn't have the balls to face me. If you smell...
he did the
what I'm cooking.
He did the tongue thing. He did the fucking Rock tongue thing.
Not as well.
I thought it was one of those, like, you don't talk about the other competition. Like, you don't... The fact that he name dropped those guys, I was like, oh.
I was surprised he mentioned Steve Austin without once again mentioning that Ric Flair, you know, or he's claiming Ric Flair got him fired. That was more of a Hogan thing, but...
Oh, yeah.
Ric Flair then lies and says this opponent is in the same class as Andre the Giant, Steve Austin, and The Rock. I have a single category of how this man's in the same class as two of them.
Okay.
At this point in 2000,
okay,
Scott Steiner's opponent has main evented the same amount of WrestleManias as Steve Austin and The Rock, which sounds wrong, but it's true.
Damn.
That said, do you want to measure how big the stars are based on your other company's biggest show?
No, not really.
Rick then starts talking about how hurt Booker is, and Stevie Ray comes out, and Stevie Ray off mic calls Steiner a synthetic fruit booty.
Not a fruit booty.
Steiner then pitches title versus career tonight, since Stevie Ray wants to fight. Stevie calls Steiner a fruit booty four times, and Ric Flair makes the match. And then, in a weird closing line, which you took issue with, Stevie Ray says he's going to make Scott Steiner his freak tonight.
Yeah. What did we just hear Scott talk about?
A bunch of horizontal Broadway dancers.
His freaks and his peaks. He has always talked about his freaks, which his freaks are the women that he sleeps with. Those are his freaks. And this is the same thing as Ric Flair calling his dick Space Mountain and then saying, like, you, Mr. Man, is going to ride Space Mountain. This is the same thing.
You are correct in that. These phrases are often misused in weird ways all the time.
Yes. Stevie Ray does not want to be one of Scott's freaks. Scott does not want to be Stevie Ray's, but they should not be each other's freak.
Yeah, my only thought is, are you going for like weird prison vibes? But I don't think you were thinking of that far through.
So I don't know about all that.
In reality, he was just going for, I'm going to make you my bitch kind of thing.
Yes, but he used the word freak.
Yeah. He used a very specific phrase.
Yeah.
Which I am... kind of surprised at, because I didn't realize Stevie Ray watched the show.
That's a good point. I think someone just told him to say it.
That's it. I'll tell you who does watch the show, because I don't think I noted it all throughout, but this show is peppered with commentary kind of like making mention of slash jabbing at Stevie Ray all fucking night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They just have a line here and there, and it's like just like referencing that Stevie Ray's the thing, and he's not on commentary tonight.
Is Stevie Ray in on the fun?
No. He doesn't. He's not going to watch the show.
That's true.
So we have our main event tonight, which, spoilers, will be our last Stevie Ray match in the podcast.
What?
Which, shock, they're not going to tease a mystery opponent for Scott Steiner and then change the title on the same night to Stevie Ray. Backstage, the Boogie Knights negotiate with Chronic, and they're like, all right, give me like 2.5 minutes, and Chronic priced him out. So Boogie Knights say, you know what? No, we're going to go find somebody else.
Chronic finally decided, like, I'm done being your bitch. Pay me more money.
They're not doing anything.
They're not doing anything.
Why are you praising Chronic here? They're getting greedy because they're like, oh, we can...
Well, they're lazy.
Yeah. They did not say, tell your story walking. I was really ready for it.
That's true. They did not say that.
We then get Pamela Pumpkins with the MIA.
She's wearing pumpkin-colored pants.
Is she?
She's wearing orange pants.
Ruxin says he did everything he said he would and thanks the fans and the misfits. Ruxin calls out Bam Bam Bigelow for helping Storm last night. And honestly, like, it's funny. As long as that fucking stretching portion took, the interference was so quick, I kind of blanked on it.
Yeah, I did kind of forget.
And a thing I've kind of been noticing, I I don't know if it's intentional or not. Lieutenant Loco cuts off Rection again. He keeps doing this in promos. I don't know whether it's just they have bad chemistry or if they're trying to do something.
They have bad chemistry. This is not a thing.
Well, in that vein, he tries to like fire up Rection, and I'm like, okay, so you're still on the same page, but Rection says he'll see Bam Bam later tonight.
Sure.
Our next match, it's Lance Storm with Major Guns versus Yang with Leia Meow, and Yang is already in the ring.
On paper, I feel like this was going to be match of the night. Like, on paper, Young Dragons, Team Canada, Lance Storm, like, come on. This should have been match of the night.
The problem is, the company does not take Yang seriously as a wrestler.
Sure.
And commentary doesn't either here. It's like, sure. Oh, well, like, Storm's going to wipe the floor
out. If you tune out commentary and give these two a little bit of time, I think this could have been match of the night.
Storm has a mic and says he's not out here to complain about mayhem, but he's like, I do have a broken rib, but that's no excuse. Everybody gets lucky once, and Rection, this isn't over. Bass. Commentary's like, Ric Flair made that a last time match, so it's like, it is over, by definition. That was the whole stipulation. Storm then calls the anthem, but Yang interrupts and hits a tilt-a-whirl roll-up.
They didn't even play, like, a second of the anthem.
Yang hits strikes the ribs and then a dropkick. Storm hits a super kick and then a backbreaker. Yang headbutts Storm's in the balls on a sunset flip and then hits his chokeslam STO kind of move. Storm hits a jawbreaker and then gets Yang on his shoulders but ends up getting rolled up. Yang goes to the top rope and hits a moonsault press. And Major Guns misses an interference spot as Storm hits a pile driver.
Oh, was there a missed interference?
Yeah, she goes to like grab the leg and just whiffs.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Well, you can't see what didn't happen.
That's a good point.
Well, the interference is meant to set up a cat fight between her and Leia Meow,
oh.
Which prompts the cat to come out, and he throws a chair to Lance Storm so he can hit a rolling kick into the chair into Storm, but they screw up the timing so that it's really slow and awkward looking, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, okay. It was so awkward that I wasn't totally sure what they were going for.
Yeah, and the ref is distracted by the women fighting at ringside, but notices Yang has the pin and counts it, so Yang has upset Lance Storm.
Wow. So I was wrong about match of the night.
Yeah. And well, like, two matches in, this another awkward interference finish. Mm-hmm. It's like, spread these out, my guys.
Unless they all have awkward interferences.
But, like, you know, again, like, these guys can work. So it's like, not a poorly worked match.
Not
but
a poorly worked match.
Hard
but, like,
to care coming in.
It was just a weird vibe match, too. Like, everything felt just a little clunky.
Also felt like Lance Storm was giving more than the office wanted him to give.
Yeah.
Like, no, this should be basically a squash until the interference. It's like, well, that's boring, so Let's have a match.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Backstage, Lance Storm confronts Jim Duggan for not helping him win. It's like, why aren't you scolding Elix? It's like, oh, well, you're the veteran, so you should know better. It's like, oh.
This is the only screen time that Jim Duggan got tonight.
Nice payday.
I did kind of like Storm's heat with this, though. Like, I got it. And he did sell it well, because he was like, yeah, there's no fucking way that Elix was going to come help me. You're the guy who should have known to come help me. Like, I got it.
The other problem is, the match was presented as Lance Storm should win easily, so that's why Jim Duggan wasn't out there.
True, that too, but like, I still get where he's coming from.
Yeah. Elsewhere backstage, Stevie Ray is on the phone, and he's like, I know what I'm doing. Cool.
Did we ever figure out who he's on the phone with? I'm assuming Booker?
Probably Booker. Yeah, okay. It's irrelevant, but probably Booker.
Okay.
Elsewhere backstage, the Boogie Knights approach the fucking Harris boys for help.
Don't make the connection, don't make the connection, don't make the connection. Oh my god, a Disco's Italian. Weren't they on the same team too?
The same team? The Harris boys' price for help is a drink and a sandwich. It's like, wait, no, we need to negotiate better. All right. Two drinks, two sandwiches. They've got a deal. Because I hate the Harris boys, I'm like, I like that they're just being presented as pathetic.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that was pretty.
Yeah, your alarm bell was going off as soon as you saw them and Alex Wright in the same scene.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
You know what's crazy? The Harris boys probably have more love for German history than Alex Wright does.
That is actually very true. Probably.
Yeah. I do want to loop Alex Wright into that. His crime in this segment is being German in this segment.
Yes.
That is all.
That is very, very true.
He's just a fun boy. He's not a.
He's with the party boy.
Next up, we get Lex Luger coming out of the ring with a microphone to probably provide some shenanigans.
But he's going to do it with the least gusto possible.
Welcome to Lex Luger,
babe. I fucking can't stand Lex Luger. And then you pair him up with Elizabeth, I want to die.
She's not here.
Thank God.
Luger says it's party time and announces the end of Goldberg's streak and career.
Why is it party time?
Luger says this is the crowning achievement of his career and puts over all the good things in his life and career and claims he's going to get justice from his match last night. And his big claim for this is because Goldberg speared the referee, Goldberg should have lost by DQ. Therefore, the streak is over and Goldberg's retired. Luger claims to have filed a formal appeal to Ric Flair, who has been doing him favors. So
it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I'm learning I can't use the phrase doing him favors without immediately thinking, wear the hat, Kurt.
I'm doing you favors.
But he claims Goldberg is out of here and demands an answer tonight from Ric Flair. Luger then calls himself the most intelligent wrestler and then immediately flubs his next line. And that's it. And Mark Madden compares this to Al Gore.
He refuses to lose like Al Gore.
So great.
Politics! I fucking can't stand Lex Luger. There was no energy. Again, you put more energy into the segment that you just said than Lex Luger brought to the arena. This man does not know how to turn it the fuck on.
I know it's meant to be a body, but I don't know why his Total Package logo looks like an M.
It looks like the Iron Man logo. Like the run.
Yes, Emily is showing me the logo. It looks very similar.
Yeah, it does. It's a little swoopier, but yeah, it looks very similar.
Backstage, a limo arrives, and I swear it's with New Jersey plates, but this does not come up.
It was yellow like New Jersey plates, but it looked like it said Connecticut, which still was wrong because we're in Illinois.
I mean, it's also like a lot of times with like fleet vehicles that the plates are never going to match where the fuck they're at.
No, that's true.
Emily, you want to go through our next segment?
No.
Come on.
Sorry. The following is a paid announcement by Jimmy Hart because we're not fucking done with this yet, I guess. So he's still looking for opponents to wrestle. He's not doing the radio opponents anymore. He just wants... It's not still radio.
No, he does. Say radio. He says radio DJs. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean personalities.
Oh, I missed the radio part. Okay. He's still just looking for celebrities. Let's say that. C-list celebrities to wrestle. But he's saying it in such a like... I called him a Mouseketeer. He's a cartoon character. This man belongs on
Jimmy
Saturday
Hart?
Morning cartoons.
What? I have a hard time picturing that.
In the context of the episode, he makes no sense. He is bringing an energy to the show that does not match the vibe of WCW. It doesn't match the vibe of wrestling anymore. So he just feels so wrong. I'm guessing he's going to fucking wrestle Bubba the Love Sponge or something, right?
Can I make this worse?
Oh, God.
He doesn't wrestle in WCW again.
He is done.
He's done with that. He might manage somebody for all the fuck I know, but he's done wrestling, yeah.
So this is nothing. This is nothing.
This will lead to nothing.
Sick. Great. So the Stand Up or Shut Up World Tour, I guess, is canceled.
This is going to ruin the tour.
What tour?
The World Tour. Is that joke still relevant?
To us, it is. We say that a lot.
We then get Mean Gene backstage with Jeff Jarrett, and they're getting spicy at each other.
So Jarrett starts the segment, as he always does when it comes to Gene. Hello, Jurassic Slapass. But this time, Gene has a fucking comeback. So when Jarrett says, hello, Jurassic Slapass, Gene says, hello, numbnuts. Just straight up, just numbnuts.
It's the one where Jarrett's like, actually, it's slapnuts. Get it right.
Oh my God. It was just so like out of character for Gene. It felt out of character, but it was so weird. I think that Gene and Jarrett kind of broke each other because there was a moment where I could see a smile crack on Jarrett's face.
These two were having a blast.
Yeah. I don't think Jarrett was expecting Gene to call him numbnuts.
Jarrett does slip into his usual promo, sure. And he's facing Rey Mysterio tonight. I'm like, why? I'm not mad,
that doesn't make
any
sense. But off camera, the filthy animals start, throwing eggs at Jarrett and Gene, whatever. And so, I don't remember what Jarrett says to Gene as he's, running off to the animals, but Gene does yell, oh, blow it out your ass. I just love Sassy Gene. Sassy Gene is my favorite.
Let's go elsewhere backstage. Big Vito is with his sister, Marie.
And did you catch what they were talking about here?
I didn't bother noting it.
Vito is giving Marie crap for, being flirty and messing with other guys. So, he is trying to schedule time with her so they can go to church and do confession.
Okay. Yeah.
Slut shaming.
So they chat for a moment and then they part ways. And Marie's like looking out for somebody. Turns out to be for Reno.
Yeah. Are they a thing? Is he why she has to go to confession?
Well, he puts his arm around her. And Emily, do you want spoilers for Thunder?
Are they dating?
Apparently.
Is this star-crossed lovers?
Marie and Reno are siblings.
Whoa.
Which, what does that mean, Emily?
Vito's his cousin.
No.
No?
Because Vito
Vito's
is
his brother.
Yeah. So wait, Vito, and Reno, Vito and Reno have been siblings this whole time, and it's never been mentioned.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I think it's presented in a way that it is like, wait a minute. You guys have been brothers the whole time? But yeah, they never mentioned it, but apparently they're brothers.
This came off as flirting.
It, oh, it absolutely did.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll get more on this on the weather report, and then maybe next week. We'll see what happens with that.
I thought this was going to be like a star-crossed lovers thing. Like the oh, man yeah. That my,
oh, that was the vibe. Yeah,
the man that my brother does not approve of. I'm in love. But daddy, I love him. Like, not my brother. Ew.
But let's go into our next match. It's another like cruiserweight kind of adjacent match. It's Noble and Courageous versus Alex Wright and his buddies, the Harris Boys. Except actually, no, it's just Big Ron. No, or yes,
yeah,
Big
it's
Ron.
Just Big Ron because Heavy D is on commentary, I guess.
He's just at ringside.
Ringside. He's sitting by the commentary team.
And Disco is out there somewhere, too, because he comes out with a bag of sandwiches and sodas.
Good. Pay up.
Right heels in the crowd. Disco says, what's in the bag is not a load of crap. And I'm like...
is that a callback?
Like, yeah. I'm like, wait, are you referencing Jeff Jarrett's promo?
What's in the grocery bag, Jeff? I thought you would never ask.
But yeah, Alex and Disco are out here. And then from Argentina, out come the Harris Brothers. It's like, oh, okay. Only once in the match they go, oh, yeah, it's Ron. I'm like, I'll take your word for it.
I stand by again that these two are not identical because Heavy D is a little heavier. You got the fat twin and the skinny twin.
They can still be identical twins, babe.
They're easily identifiable now.
Anyway, Ron overpowers Courageous, hits a power slam. Wright also overpowers Courageous, hits an overhead suplex. Courageous hits a pop-up dropkick, then tags in Noble as Ron tags in. Noble hits a loose diving dropkick, but it's put down with a big boot. Evan Courageous interferes and hits a springboard dropkick, then does the big wiggle for some reason.
Yeah, why does he have the big wiggle in his arsenal? Where is Norman? He needs to come back.
I think he's on Thunder coming up.
Well, he's been on Thunders in the past. He needs to come back to Nitro.
Yeah. Noble gets annoyed at Courageous just dancing mid-match and convinces Courageous to double-team Wright. Big Ron comes in to even the odds. Noble hits a head scissors on Ron, but the Harris Brothers H-bomb Noble behind the ref's back, and Alex Wright gets the win.
So, commentary makes an unbelievably insensitive comment. Let me just put that out there. That just made me go, holy fuck.
I don't know that it's insensitive. It's just, why would you say it?
Just fuck me, man. Like, we don't need to bring that energy here. He says, thank God Germany didn't have the H-bomb 50 years ago. Fuck me, man. Why have we got to invoke that energy?
This match was very standard action with weird pacing based on where everyone is kind of at on the card right now.
Yeah.
It's a very weird mix of job, of like mid, under, and jobbers here.
Yeah, I feel like the Harris Brothers are definitely jobbers at this point.
Yeah, they're about to not be.
And I would say that like Evan Courageous and Jamie Noble are like mid card. And they're Disco under. Ducks, they're like mid.
They're mid, yeah. Well, they're mid and they're mid.
Stop with the young person lingo.
Nash and DDP are here and they're bussing.
Shut the fuck up.
We get another Blood Runs Cold, no cap. And
stop.
Commentary just shits on this again.
They literally say, this has to be a rib, don't you think?
Yeah, it's really failing the vibe check.
Stop.
The limo is still here. And then we cut to low energy Ric Flair. Is there any other? He's backstage and announces that due to Luger's appeal, Lex Luger has been disqualified. Because, like, yeah, you pulled the ref in the way.
Yeah.
I'm not stupid.
I may be tired, but I'm not stupid.
And you're a great wrestler.
I'm retired.
Flair does say that the WWE is about winning and losing, so he books Lex Luger versus Goldberg for Starrcade. It's like, oh, okay.
He claims it'll be one last time to declare the winner.
Sure.
I don't believe that.
Considering the last time you booked a one last time match, the guy came out the next night and went, I'm not done with you.
Yeah. I don't believe you. Also, whenever Ric Flair says something is the last time, not true.
What are you talking about? Ric Flair's last match was totally his last match.
Yeah, for sure. Which one?
Kevin Nash and DDP come out to the ring, making separate entrances. Commentary starts hyping up their past without ever really getting too specific for whatever reason, because they bring it up in the promo, so I don't know. Nash has a mic, hypes up the crowd, and DDP shouts out a buddy of theirs.
DDP is feeding into the We Want Hall.
Hey, yo.
God.
Survey says, we then get a We Want Hall chant, and Nash like shouts it out, like, oh, survey says We Want Hall. I'm like, fuck off. Go.
Stop it.
DDP speeds through his promo to the point where I'm like, we're watching a normal speed, right?
Oh my God, yeah, he was zooming through this. So have they named this group the Insiders before?
No.
Okay, so they do finally name drop the group and name them the Insiders.
Yes, yeah,
so
you saw that on like Wikipedia for Mayhem where it was listed as the Insiders.
Maybe, but I think you have also said it before.
Maybe. They've only been together for like two shows.
Yeah.
But they were previously the Vegas Connection.
And apparently they sucked as the Vegas Connection when they were a tag team.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about them.
Since Hall and Nash were the Outsiders, they must be the Insiders. And we're going to keep trying to get Hall back. It's like, that's our whole goal here. Nash is too sweet and the Wolfpack music hits. And Mark Madden immediately bites on it. He's like, it couldn't be, right? Like, well, actually, no, it couldn't be.
No, it actually couldn't be.
No, it's the Natural Born Thrillers. And I'm not entirely convinced that wasn't a production mistake.
I mean, they do kind of play into it where, like, the reaction to it is a crazy big pop. And so the Natural Born Thrillers come out. And DDP and Nash do kind of clock it. Like, the only way you're going to get a pop is coming out to our music, huh? I mean, it's a good burn. They're right.
It's a good burn that you shouldn't fucking say because it's burying your opponent.
Don't they want to bury their opponent? What do you mean?
Yeah, not actually. They don't want to, like, it's your, still your coworker.
Yeah, I don't think they care that much.
Mike Sanders has a mic, says Nash and DDP are just like the crowd, trailer park trash, and yeah, garners yeah, cheap yeah. heat. Even commentary's like, get fucking new lines.
Yeah, Tony does yell, please come up with a new cliche. He's right. It's exhausting.
Sanders says DDP only came back to steal the Natural Born Thrillers spotlight and says at least Ric Flair knew when to step aside. Brother.
No, he did not.
Sanders says at Starrcade, DDP and Nash will face the team of Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare. But DDP wants the match now, and the Thrillers come down and oblige. So we have a match. It's DDP and Kevin Nash versus Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare for the WCW Tag Team titles. Everyone trades strikes, and DDP hits a discus clothesline. DDP and Jindrak go to the floor and then just get on the apron for like the tags. Like, oh, yeah, okay. O'Hare and Nash badly mistime an elbow and then go to the corner.
Is it like a botched running elbow sort of a thing?
Yeah, just like that. Nash doesn't step forward enough or O'Hare doesn't run into it, but
they this is a very messy match, yeah. Not in a fun, good way.
They immediately go to the corner. I'm like, okay, a nice safe spot for Kevin.
No.
Nash hits elbows in the corner. DDP gets on the top rope and making the tag like makes him slip off because he was going to go for some sort of dive and doesn't quite get all of it. Jindrak hits a springboard clothesline after tagging in and the Thrillers double team DDP in their corner sloppily. Paige hits a head scissors, then a clothesline, and the pin is broken up. DDP hits a diamond cutter, but Mike Sanders runs down and pulls the referee out of the ring. Kevin Nash then wants to powerbomb Mike Sanders, but the Natural Born Thrillers run out and attack the Insiders. Mark Madden keeps implying that Scott Hall is going to come out any second now.
He says, hey, yo, if you're listening, get here in a hurry. Who's that coming from the back? Oh, no one, sorry.
And the Thrillers beat them down, and then the Thrillers' music hits. And that's the end of the segment.
The match is over.
Yeah. What?
Fucking terrible.
Like,
so much bad happened here. Like, not even DDP can save it.
It's not that hard to have a result. Like, just have the ref land on his feet and call for the DQ.
Yeah.
Why would you guys be fine with that ending? You guys want the titles.
Right.
Like, it's logic breaking.
So much bad happened in this match. Like, even if somehow Scott Hall did run out and was like, oh, he's back, this wouldn't be a good return for him. This would still be a shit match.
And frankly, if you were going to have him come back, do it at Starrcade. Like,
that's true, yeah.
Or I guess maybe right before Starrcade, if people actually buy Starrcade.
Maybe.
But yeah, sloppy match with a stupid finish. We then get Mean Gene with Stevie Ray. Stevie says he'll do anything he has to get his hands on Steiner. And Gene hypes up the main event. This was pretty much nothing.
This was nothing. Because Stevie Ray is nothing.
We then get Reno coming out to the ring to a theme I don't think I've ever heard before.
Yeah, we can't even say Reno comes out to a new theme because it may be. Or it might be the theme that he's always had and we've just never heard it.
And he's here to face Goldberg.
Why, huh?
This is terrible marketing.
Why?
I should know when Goldberg's going to wrestle.
Right.
A little bit. Like,
a little? Like, give me anything backstage. This also, like, this should be a squash match. This should be a squash match. This should be quick and nothing.
Commentary notes the streak is on the line, so 100% still a thing. Match starts, Reno attacks Goldberg getting the ring, but like struggles for the angle on it. Like he goes to hit a kick and then has to like adjust a couple steps to like get the right angle on it. It's weird. Goldberg hits a big clothesline, then a press slam drop. Reno almost hits a roll of the dice, but Goldberg counters out, hits a shoulder breaker. Goldberg then gets a little too much of a spear where he goes crashing into the ropes.
A little too much leg in that spear.
And then hits a jackhammer, pins Reno.
Goldberg wins, obviously.
Yeah, Goldberg wins. Lex Luger comes out, hits Goldberg with a chair, and Goldberg sells the chair shot on a multi-second delay.
Yeah, this is one of the worst sells that I have seen in this company in a long time.
And the weird thing is, like, it's not like he didn't hit him.
No, he definitely hit him.
I don't know what Goldberg was doing there, but Luger locks in a torture rack, and the ref calls for the bell. Why?
Why?
What are you going to do? And then to add to that, the refs come in and, like, verbally scold Luger while he has Goldberg in the torture rack. It's like, no one try to actually do anything.
No. No, they never do. They just kind of crowd around him. I think that the referees think that the bell sound is going to trigger some, like, Pavlovian response in the wrestlers where they're like...
It's like dog whistles.
Yeah, it's like a dog whistle, exactly. They think that if they ring that, then it's all just going to stop. Everything just ceases. So they have to keep ringing it as many times as fucking possible.
I'm still not interested in the pay-per-view match, but, like, this is the thing, the kind of thing you have to do to build it up.
Yeah,
so I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm not mad at it. I'm just still uninterested.
Yeah.
We then get Mean Gene with the Filthy Animals, and Mean Gene notes that he almost soiled himself with all the Filthy Animal shenanigans earlier.
What the fuck is up with Mean Gene tonight? He's sassy Gene tonight. I love it.
The Filthy Animals cut a super cringy promo, and Billy Kidman does his... gimmick.
I still like it.
Yeah.
I do. It's silly. I also just love Billy. Billy is silly.
Let's go into our next match that got hyped up earlier, but man, I kind of forgot.
Yup.
It's Bam Bam Bigelow versus General Hugh G. Rection for the U.S. title.
You sure it's Hugh G. Rection?
Not according to commentary.
Mark Madden seems pretty confused on who this is.
Well, admittedly, I think that was rubbing off on me, no pun intended. Because I wrote Morris in my notes like
Did
five
you?
Times.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, Bam Bam needs to stop wrestling in the big t-shirt. Like,
you say this every time. It, you know, it's fine. He doesn't want to look like Earthquake. Like, he looks fine in the t-shirt. It's part of his look now, I think.
It just makes him look even bigger in a bad way. Because
yeah.
It is a baggy shirt on him. So I'm just like, well, I'm thinking about how he used to wrestle in the, like, the tight flame shirt. Like, that was fine.
That's true.
Like, just go back to that.
But Mark Madden is questioning the new gear on Hugh G. Rection. And one,
I did too.
He's questioning it like he's, you know, left the MIA. That's what he was questioning. But he says Hugh Morris. Like, one, Hugh Morris is not this guy's name. Two, there is an MIA, like, logo on the on the outfit.
Admittedly, I forgot that there was a MIA logo.
Yeah.
But, like, the bottom of the pants are the question marks, and I'm like, that's Hugh Morris gear. So I'm like, why are you wearing that again? Like, it just seemed weird.
Yeah, I guess. I think that Mark Madden was just either one, not paying attention, or two, trying to sow conspiracy.
Bigelow brings Morris to the corner, and they trade strikes. Rection works over the arm of Bigelow. Bigelow locks in a rest hold, and oh man, I did not care about this one, folks.
Nope.
Rection powers up. He's put back down with a knee. Rection clotheslines Bigelow, hits a T-bone suplex, as Scott Hudson ponders if Rection should be the number one contender for the world title.
Why the fuck would he be?
Because, oh, you know, the U.S. champion, it's the title below, so, like, that's just such an old school thought. I'm like, that's not a thing anymore.
It's not a thing. Why the fuck would he be the number one contender?
I think even Mark Madden's like, no,
yeah,
it's not how we do it.
No.
Bigelow dodges a diving elbow, hits a rough-looking powerbomb. Bam Bam grabs a table, sets it up at ringside, but AWOL moves the table and distracts Bam Bam to get put in position for no laughing matter, and Rection gets the win and retains the title.
Ooh!
This is another Bam Bam match where they don't use the table.
No.
Yeah, I just...
Who could care?
This felt like a clerical note of, well, he tried to cost him the title, so we gotta, like, wrap that up.
Yeah.
Like, to me, the wrapping that up was the AWOL Bam Bam match. Like,
right.
It didn't require another step.
Right. Who could care?
Also, no appearance from Mike Awesome, who I would have thought maybe would have done something here, but no.
Yeah, he's not on the show.
We then go backstage. Mean Gene is with Scott Steiner.
Mean Gene's got a lot of work to do.
Seriously.
Today.
Steiner says Booker T lied, since Booker was always saying that someone would have to kill him to take the title, and it's like, I didn't. I put him out of action, but, like, he's alive.
He's fine.
He also notes he'll end Stevie's career tonight. Gene asks about Starrcade, and Scott Steiner gets annoyed about this.
And he's like, I just really don't give a damn. And he walks away.
No, he brings the camera crew. He's like, come with me.
He walks away from Gene.
Yeah, we're going to go figure this out right now. And Scott Hudson's like, oh, yeah, I always hoped someone would do this. I'm like, fair.
Okay.
The fact that it's like, oh, there's a mystery. Just someone go open the fucking door.
That's true.
So Steiner goes to the limo and opens the door, and a bunch of women come out who Steiner all calls ugly for some reason.
Someone on commentary refers to them as the Saved by the Bell cast.
I
didn't get that reference.
I don't know. But the limo was being driven by M.I. Smooth. Ugh. And he's like, oh, I've had limos coming out like all night. You want one? I can get you one, but this one belongs to Ric Flair. So Steiner's like, oh, so it's your fault, and then beats up Smooth.
Sure. So,
good. Beat him up.
Honestly, yeah, whatever reason you need, hit him.
Let's go into our second to last match.
Oh my God, are we actually already?
Yeah. It's
my God.
Jeff Jarrett versus Rey Mysterio with the Filthy Animals.
This also should be a fun match. Jeff Jarrett and Rey Mysterio, this should be fun.
Yeah.
Should be.
Jarrett grabs a mic, threatens the other Filthy Animals if they get involved. Match starts, Jeff gets tripped up almost immediately, and Rey hits a springboard bulldog. Jarrett hits a clothesline and catches Rey out of the air with a power slam. Conan then gets on the apron to distract the ref. Billy Kidman trips Jeff Jarrett between Conan's legs directly in front of Conan and the ref.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, Charles Robinson just doesn't see it. Kidman
the
then also, yeah, he also holds the foot to allow Rey to hit a springboard leg drop, and commentary is struggling with the face heel dynamics here because the faces are outnumbering the heel 4-1 and actively cheating.
Right.
So Mark Madden just comes off reasonable in this match.
Right.
More on that in a minute. Rey slips out of a power slam, hits a spin kick. Rey wants a Bronco Buster, but Jeff Jarrett gets his boot up right into Rey's balls.
That was a
and then vaults him out of the air like that.
Nasty shot. Oh, man.
I did rewind it. Rey lands his feet on the second rope, so he's not taking that.
Oh, he's not taking it fully. Okay, okay.
I was like, oh, God. Because I'm like, you got some air out of that, too.
Hope you're done having kids.
Jeff Jarrett then knocks Rey onto the second rope and runs to the opposite ropes, and I'm like, what in the 619 are you about to go for? It was like weird to see someone do that to Rey in 2000.
What in the booyaka?
Yeah, but No, he just hits like a standard like rope leg attack. Kidman then blatantly grabs Jeff Jarrett, but it's the one thing they didn't want to happen. Wait, no! They stop it in time. Rey and Kidman then try to double clothesline Jeff Jarrett, but he ducks and runs into a clothesline from Conan.
Where is Charles Robinson?
Looking at directly at it. Directly. Jeff Jarrett then gets his knees up on a springboard moonsault and goes for another rope attack, but Rey moves and manages to hit a springboard senton. Commentary implies that, like, the Filthy Animals pull Rey out of the way. I think he just moves.
Hmm.
Or maybe they're saying, like, they told Rey he was coming, because there was some element of, oh, you can't do that close to the animals.
Think of the animals.
Rey hits a casual lion salt, and I mean that in, like, how effortlessly he does it.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
He wants a Bronco Buster again, but first Kidman comes in to baseball slide Jarrett in the balls as Conan distracts the ref.
Sure.
Tigress then comes in to hit a face full of stuff.
Face full of stuff.
And calls for Rey to hit a Bronco Buster around her.
It works.
Yeah. Mark Madden then asks, why haven't the Filthy Animals been DQ'd?
Great question.
Tony says it's because the Filthy Animals, they're just too quick.
Yeah. They're just too fast.
The ref saw them.
He's so
blatantly.
No, they didn't.
To the point where Conan hit the clothesline and Charles Robinson was like, hey, I might have to throw you out of here.
They're just so sneaky and fast. No one could possibly stop them.
Jarrett turns a springboard senton into a powerbomb, like rough looking. He hits a stroke, but then Jeff Jarrett is pulled out of the ring mid-count. Charles Robinson, totally fine with this. Well, actually, sorry, he's not fine with this, because his response is to go argue with Tigress, who was not involved in the pulling out.
She's a woman.
And Kidman and Conan beat down Jarrett, throw him back in the ring. Rey hits a tilt-a-whirl head scissors, and then wants a springboard move, but Jeff Jarrett grabs a guitar and hits Rey out of midair with the guitar. Whoa.
Too much.
DQ.
Too far. Call for that bell.
I'm like, no, Jarrett should have been allowed to do it. I'm
no,
team
right.
Call for the DQ. At that point, it doesn't matter.
No, you're right. You are right. There is a point, though, where commentary is you and I.
Mark Madden's pissed, and Tony Schiavone goes, "The referee saw it. Don't get so fired up about it." Fuck you, Tony.
That's literally us, though. This is us. You are Mark Madden being like, "Oh, is this a DQ? Like, what the fuck?" And it's me going, "Chill the fuck out. The rules are lax, bro." This is literally us, Nick.
Kidman then hits a BK bomb on Jarrett and Jarrett bails. I don't know why that had to happen, but...
Because fuck you, that's why.
And then in the back, Pamela is with Jeff Jarrett. He wants a 6-man tag on Thunder, but keeps his partners a secret. I'll give it away now. It's the Harris Boys.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's nobody fun. Don't get your hopes up. But, yeah, Jeff Jarrett got fucked over here.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He really did.
And the only reason he lost is because he cheated once. He cheated once.
Cheaters never prosper.
And yeah, this was disappointing because these two could obviously work a good match.
This could have also been match of the night.
But yeah, like even commentary was noting like, oh, the rules on this are weird.
Sure are. They're pretty lax, guys.
But are they?
But Mark Madden getting fired up and pissed about the DQ rules and then Tony being like, don't get so fired up about it. Like, damn, this is why Nick hates me.
But my issue is, yeah, there's no rules until we need a scapegoat for not wanting a finish to a match.
Yeah.
And then it's, oh, well, DQ. Like, we couldn't do a DQ in the Thrillers match, but this one, oh, we definitely need a DQ.
Right.
Like, I don't know,
no,
man.
No, it's stupid. There's no sense to it. You are right. It is stupid. There should have been a finish to the Thrillers match. You're right.
Or
I'm
this one.
I'm agreeing with you.
Fuck it. You've had them interfere 80 times. Right. Have Ray win.
Do it again.
Tell me Jeff Jarrett can't fucking lose? Like... That said, the finish of this was really fucking cool looking.
Oh my god, yeah, that guitar shot was insane.
Ray got obliterated.
Yeah, vaporized. Like, whoa.
The in-ring quality was good outside of the lame story. Let's go to the flip side of that.
Oh.
Of a decent story in setup.
Yeah, sure.
And
in that it has a setup.
I mean, you know, the lore is there.
That's true. So they do kind of set up the lore in the entrance, because this is the main event. This is Stevie Ray versus Scott Steiner.
It's WCW title versus career.
And they were talking about the history between these two, where Harlem Heat and the Steiner brothers were trading the tag titles back and forth. There's 10 years of heat between these two. Like, I like the lore. It's thin, but I like it.
Now, granted, that's not all they say during the entrance, because Stevie Ray comes out, and then we see Scott Steiner... And then we see a limo, and then we go to commercial.
Sure.
And we come back, and we get a Starrcade ad. And then Scott Steiner's coming out, and commentary just will only speculate on who is in the limo. And Emily, sucker's gots to know.
Sucker's gots to know. Sucker's gonna die. Mark Madden literally straight up just says, sucker's gots to die. And then he says, it's all about neck bones. Sucka's gots to die is like top 10 lines for me. I don't know, man.
Stevie attacks Steiner mid-entrance, but Asia goes to hit Stevie with the lead pipe, but then like stops and then they go to the other side and then she does it.
She seemed very confused.
Steiner throws Stevie around, who doesn't want to bump into the barricade or go below one knee. They go into the ring and the match formally starts as Steiner beats down Stevie Ray. Stevie hits a pump kick, but Steiner immediately regains the advantage and works Stevie over in the corner. Stevie Ray fires up, but is put back down with a low blow. Scott hits chair shots on the outside. Seems fine. No DQ.
Fine. Rules relax, Nick.
They go back inside and go back to the corner. Stevie clotheslines the back of Steiner's head, which I couldn't tell if actually rattled Steiner or not.
It may have. I don't know. This is another match that like should have been more of a squash than it was.
Scott comes to, hits his spinning suplex, which Scott Hudson calls a rolling thunder suplex.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie hits a sidekick and a DDT, and then Medeja grabs Stevie's leg, so Steiner's able to hit a suplex that Stevie Ray fully sandbags him on.
Oof.
To the point where Tony's even like, oh, maybe closer to a brainbuster there. I think it's Scott Hudson invokes the word yak during this match.
Oh, because Medeja's on the corner, yeah. Did you see Medeja's thigh muscles during this match, though? Holy shit. The shoes that she's wearing are fucking insane. But they make the muscles in her thighs look crazy. This girl's jacked. She's like secretly jacked.
Scott hits a backbreaker in the ring and then goes up to the second rope. And I don't know if you clocked this. He's standing on the second rope and I can literally hear him go, bookend.
I heard him say something.
Yeah, it sounded like bookend to me, and he jumps and lands into a Stevie Ray bookend, and yeah. I'm like, I think he was just loudly calling the spot. Because right. I'm like, I don't know what else he would have been saying there.
Yeah.
That said, Scott kicks out. Stevie is fucking dead on his feet here.
This man
and
is gassed.
Like, he goes to hit a kick that Steiner has to catch, and I don't think Stevie's foot goes more than 18 inches off the mat.
It's like maybe at a 45 degree angle.
And with that kick, the crowd starts booing. Like, they're losing patience for this. At that point, I started noticing, like, the gut on Stevie as well. I'm like, he's fully gassed.
Oh, yeah. This man is, like you said, dead on his feet. He's exhausted.
Even commentary points it out.
This is, like, the longest single Stevie Ray match that I think we've ever seen. Singles? Might be.
Yeah. Steiner then clotheslines Stevie, and they go to the floor. And commentary's like, oh, yeah, man, they're both really moving slow. Stevie hits a chair shot on the outside. Commentary agrees. Oh, you know, he has to use it.
No, he doesn't.
Steiner hits a T-bone suplex that Irish whips Stevie, who he doesn't hit the ropes. He plays tag with the ropes. He goes to the ropes, touches it, and starts going the other way.
Oh, my God.
Just go home, my guys. End the match.
Imagine if Stevie won this.
Stevie hits a flapjack, which is his finisher. Steiner kicks out at one at the same time that Stevie, like, gets up from the pin. And Medeja distracts Stevie going up top. And Steiner hits an electric chair drop, then locks in the Steiner recliner for the win. So Scott Steiner has retained.
Yes.
Now, there are 13 seconds left in the video.
We still need to know who was in the limo.
The music finally hits. And with 5 seconds left in the video, we see Sid Vicious is here. He's back.
And better than ever?
He's looking thick.
You see, like, enough of his face to be like, oh, shit, Sid, and then it's over.
You also do see his, like, Titantron before.
Oh, okay.
That commentary has to do the weird thing of, like, oh, who is it? It's yeah. Like, yeah. It's Sid.
So Sid
5 seconds.
I feel like even 5 seconds is generous, but you did go back and check.
I did.
It was the world's quickest 5 seconds.
The music hits with 13 seconds left, and he appears with 5 left. It's to where they can't even go, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Because they have to say the phrase, oh my God, Sid Vicious is here.
Yeah.
And I think they might say the word Starcade. And
oh, I don't know. I don't think they did. But it was the craziest ending.
And like, Stevie was dying. End the match early.
You have
more
home
time
so
for Sid.
Much earlier, yeah.
But yeah, Sid did not look good either. He looked heavy.
We didn't get a full body shot. I'll give him that. Maybe it was a bad outfit. We don't know.
Yeah, weird
he
turtleneck.
He did look chunky. It might have been a weird turtleneck. The fact that we didn't even get a full body shot of Sid, like, come on.
As much as I love Sid, like, yeah, like, oh, it's going to be an Austin or Rock level person. Like, no.
It's WCW, I feel like Sid is up there.
No.
No? Oh.
Like, if you, this had been Hogan, you might have gotten away with it. Going back to the match, this match.
Garbage.
Fell apart. Like,
oh, garbage.
So early. And I didn't have massive hopes going in, but, like, I'm glad Stevie Ray is done wrestling and this is the best he has.
Yeah.
He's dying out there, and like I still don't understand. Like you're running out of time, and the wild thing is, I think they did cut the match short.
You think so?
Because the weird kick out at one after the finisher seemed like they're chatting and going, "Oh, we got to do this
oh,
right
shit.
Now."
You might be right.
So
what did
the
they have
time
like?
Management
oh,
in WWE? Like Jesus
yeah,
Christ,
it's non-existent
for Stevie Ray. I think like that's the worst part of this. Like, yeah, we did all this for Stevie,
Stevie Ray.
Hey, Sid's back. With 2 working legs.
How long does that last?
Long enough. Thoughts on this show as a whole?
Not great, Bob.
Yeah, I feel like it started off okay, and then it really fell off a cliff.
It did.
Like, right around the middle.
Not even at the middle. Like, we had the weird, dumb interferences at the beginning. It never really got to a point of, like, I'm going to sit and watch for a while. It was always just like, fucking, what's next?
Yeah, I think the weird non-finish of the Insiders and Thrillers match is where this, like, goes steadily downhill with maybe, you know, Goldberg's here, but then, you know, Luger.
But we don't even really get a, like, oh my God, Goldberg's here. Like, we don't get that, really.
Yeah. And then just a bunch of nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
And we only have a 3-week build to Starcade. This is week 1 of 3.
Okay, so it's a quick, speedy build.
And the main event, all we know is it's going to be Sid and Steiner. We don't know really, like, their beef or anything, so.
It's going to be in a cage. There's going to be something on a pole.
No, like, I think it's going to be straight up.
I don't believe that. Not in this company.
But we do also have Goldberg and Lex. Seems like there's going to be some more Young Dragons, Noble and Courageous, and 3 Count Shenanigans.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, the titles are probably going to be on the line. It's Starrcade, so they should
be
something.
It's Starrcade. It should be a really big show. It should have more than a 3-week build.
But hey, no Jimmy Hart match, so we got that going for us.
Oh my God. That's too funny. I can't believe that goes nowhere.
But Emily, with no other further thoughts on this show, let's get into best bit, worst bit, and MVP.
Oh, man.
What is your best bit?
I think my best bit is going to be the Mean Gene Jeff Jarrett segment, where they're just like sassy Gene telling Jeff Jarrett off. I mean, I love a sassy Gene.
The two of them just having fun with
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Like, the second I saw Jarrett break a little bit, I was like, oh, this is great.
I admittedly am going to go with the cold open of there's yeah. one vote you forgot to count.
Yeah.
Honorable mention to the return of the Best at Sex promo. But
yes, that's true.
It's a sad sign that nothing in terms of the wrestling was even in my, like, top 10 on this.
I was going to give you a lot of shit if you tried to find a match to give best bit to.
It's funny, they announced Jeff Jarrett and Ray. I went, well, that's the best yeah. bit.
Nope. Oh my God, we took a break from watching and you and I were both like, oh man, that's going to be a great match to come back to.
Nope.
Garbage. Garbage.
Well worked garbage. Emily, what is your worst bit?
I actually gave it to that match. I gave it to Rey Mysterio and Jeff Jarrett because of what it could have been. It gave me such high hopes and it crashed and burned so amazingly. So, no. Worst bit. I know what you're going to give it to, and you're not wrong for it, but
what am I going to give it to?
You're going to give it to DDP, Kevin Nash, and the Natural Born Thrillers.
No, actually, I almost gave it to Hugh Morris and Bam Bam.
Oh, really?
I'm going with the entirety of the main event segment.
You are going to give it to the main event segment when the insanity that was the DQ bullshit, your bread and butter, is the Jeff Jarrett Rey Mysterio. Like,
I'm giving it to Stevie Ray getting a world title match, gassing out to the point where he can't run the ropes so bad that you fuck up your big pay-per-view angle. Yes, that is the worst bit of the show.
I don't know, man. That wasn't even in my top three.
That match turned horrible for me.
Damn. Okay.
And then, Emily, who is your MVP?
Well, it's not a wrestler, I'll tell you that much. No. It's Mean Woo by God Gene. Oh, blow it out to rest.
I'm actually, for the second week in a row after never doing it, I'm going to give it to Jeff Jarrett again. Because, one, great promo. Two, God. Great opening segment. Yeah. And three, that match being bad was not Jeff Jarrett's fault.
Is this the first time that you're giving MVP to someone who's in my worst bit?
I don't know.
This might be a weird stat.
But he's also in your best bit, Emily.
Fuck, you're right. It's my best bit because of Gene and we both know it.
How often have we given best bit and worst bit to the same person?
I mean, in this case, best bit, worst bit, and MVP. You and I have him in all three. That could be a fun stat to look into, too.
Yeah, I will I say get back to you on that in the next episode, but I'll probably get back to you on that in two episodes, because next up is not Nitro.
We're going back to the land of extreme.
It's Massacre on 34th Street.
Extreme.
Which will be coming out, hopefully, right as Santa is crossing Macy's on Thanksgiving.
Exactly at noon Eastern Standard Time. That is Christmas.
The problem is there's a delay on when I release it on the RSS feed and when it comes out. Gonna weirdly time it. Well, if you want to catch up on our previous ECW episodes to see what the hell is going on over there, you can on our back catalog. Every podcast are found except for SoundCloud. You guys will follow us on social media at Butts in the Pod. We're mostly posting about when episodes come out. Then over on patreon.com/buttsintheseats, $5 a month gets you access to over 40 bonus episodes, including the new Monday Night Wars, and we're running through right now the rise of the NWO arc. We just did Fall Brawl, our first ever War Games proper.
War Games.
Not counting Russo's Revenge bullshit.
No.
Halloween Havoc should be out shortly. We're going to get Hulk Hogan in a weird wig.
Oh, God.
Elizabeth kidnapped. A bunch of NWO members. Vincent will be there by then.
Oh, goody. Can't wait for that.
Let's have Legends House, some book reports, and just some other like miscellaneous retro pay-per-views.
Yeah.
But Emily, any closing sales pitches or thoughts before we head on out of here and take a little break to ECW? It's going to be a lot of ECW in the next like five episodes.
I'm really okay with that. But no, I'm excited to get away from this for a second. Maybe we'll actually see Sid in Starrcade, and maybe it won't just be like 30 seconds.
I'll see him on Thunder, I think.
Maybe. Potentially.
But until we find out our current Sid intake, I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts in the Seats podcast.
Bye.